Hi, you're listening to the Full Life Podcast with Melanie Lynham.
I just want to clarify or affirm that every child is a miracle.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the outcome, mm-hmm. every child's a miracle, and God has purposed every child. And it comes back to that beautiful scripture that I shared from Psalms, that every child is fearfully and wonderfully made, and God can use every situation, no matter what the outcome, for His glory.
Welcome to episode 2 of the I Believe in Miracles collection. It was a 1 in 10,000 chance that I would meet my friend Jaylin Tabakaru, yet God so has a way of orchestrating our lives and bringing along divine appointments, and I'm so happy to know her now. When Jaylin was 20 weeks pregnant, she and her husband Lucien received a devastating diagnosis for their baby boy. They were told that due to his malformations, he would never see, walk, or talk, and likely not even be able to live for very long beyond birth. Jaylin shares what it was like for them walking that journey of pregnancy, being both faith-filled and realistic. Through it, they trusted God, and she shares how God stepped in and did something crazy and unexpected. Jaylin and her family are also missionaries in the Vanuatu Islands, and she has some cool stories of miracles that they have seen God do there. There was just too much to fit into one episode, so I've actually tagged on a part 2 of this conversation, and you can go check it out when you're ready to do so. Be encouraged, be inspired. God can do anything. Here we go. Here's my conversation with Jaylin Tabakaru. Jaylin, welcome to the Full Life Podcast.
Thank you, Mel. It's so wonderful to see you again.
And it's so good to see you. I've realized that it's been like 10 years since we've actually seen each other face to face.
I know. Time flies, hey?
It flies.
It's amazing.
So tell us about yourself, what you do, who you're married to, and your children.
Well, thank you. So my name is Jaylin, and I'm in my early 40s, and I grew up in Toowoomba. However, in my later years, I moved to Brisbane, and so I married a guy called Lucien Tabakaru. He's Superman himself, and I love being his wife. He's amazing.
That's lovely.
And God's blessed us with 3 precious kids. So we have Isaac, he's 13, headed for 14. Noah is 11, almost 12, and we've got a beautiful little girl who's 6, nearly 7.
Aww, that's beautiful.
More about me. I absolutely love travel. I love people and culture, and I've always had an adventurous spirit, and I also absolutely love pretty things.
Oh, pretty things. What are your favorite colors?
So I love pink and mm-hmm. white and all your neutral shades, your beiges.
Yeah.
So
you love to travel. What are some places that you've been to?
Oh, where do I start, Mel?
Oh, wow, that many.
Yeah, so when I was late 23, 24, mm-hmm. I moved to England, and I was a primary school teacher, so I taught over there. And in the school holidays and the weekends, I took advantage of jet-setting Europe.
Oh, living the dream.
Yeah, I certainly so cool. did. Obviously, this is pre-getting married.
Yeah.
And I've been to Egypt and Turkey. I've been to Ireland, Scotland, so many places, the Czech Republic.
Are there still some places that you have on your list of where you would like to go?
There most definitely is. My number one place I still really want to go to is Romania.
Oh, really?
And my big why is because that's where my husband was born mm-hmm. and immigrated to Australia from when he was little.
Yeah.
And so the stories are just wow, and the landscape. So, yes.
What is the landscape like in comparison to Australia?
Very mountainous. Yeah. There's cold parts as well. Typical European, so I really look forward to one day going there. No idea how,
yeah,
but God always makes a way, hey?
It does. Have you been to France?
Paris. My 24th birthday was in Paris.
Oh, of course. You're very adventurous.
Yes.
I love that.
Bucket list.
So then, being married to a Romanian, do you cook many Romanian dishes?
No. That's his mum's job.
Yes. Okay, cool. Yes. So, Australian cooking.
Yes, most definitely. There's definitely an art, and his mum is one of the best Romanian cooks and is known for that, so I'm not going to try and take that.
So then Christmases and, like, you know, family events, do you just kind of stay out of the kitchen?
Or are
you
in there? Okay. Totally, I'll just help clean up.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really cool. Yep. And so you and your family live in Vanuatu. Tell us more about that.
We do. Yeah. We do. So we've been living in northern Vanuatu, right up in the north, for 3.5 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real story of faith. And so I look forward to sharing a bit about that. We live on an island called Espiritu Santo.
That's a beautiful name. Do you know what that means?
It means land of the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
So an explorer back in the 1600s actually stood on our island at one of the points and claimed it was the land of the Holy Spirit. And so I run with that. I'm like, come on, Lord. There's so much work to be done. But
tell us about what led you and your family there and how you received that call.
Yeah, most definitely. So very much a God story. So as I said earlier, I've always loved travel and culture. Always very interested in anthropology and the way people live. And so it's no surprise that God did call me, because when I look back at the things I was interested in, I can see how God's wired me for this, such a time as this, so to speak. So I had done a number of short-term mission trips to Thailand and to the Philippines prior to meeting my husband. Yeah. And then on meeting my husband, I was just about to leave for to Thailand in Chiang Mai, and he was like, wow, that's amazing. And we both realized we both had a heart for missions. And so from there, God really, really took us both on a journey. And so we always talked about perhaps going short term and funding it with our business, different mission trips. But cut a long story short, we began having children, raising them. My husband climbed the career ladder and we moved to Sydney. And missions was always in the background, but it did take a little bit of background. Anyway, cut a long story short, when my daughter was approximately 14 weeks in utero, so she's our last born, God gave me a really significant dream. First of all, just to give you a bit of background information, I was really believing for a daughter. Mm-hmm. And we already had our two sons, praise God. But yeah, I just had this longing for a daughter. And anyway, this one night I woke up and I had a really significant dream. And I saw this young girl, and I specifically knew she was 19 years old. And she's standing at the end of a dirt road. And either side of the dirt road in the distance was with jungle either side, and banana leaves and all of those types of tropical landscape. Anyway, I saw her and it was amazing. I just knew she was 19, but I also knew she was my daughter.
Oh,
that was phenomenal, Mel. Yeah. But then she's looking down and she was surrounded by a group of little dark-skinned children, and she's looking down them with such love. And they're looking back up at her. So I couldn't see her face, but I could tell she had light, wavy brown hair. Mm. And it was, she was a petite build. Mm-hmm. And that was the extent of my dream. But within that, I knew that our family was also part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a knowing.
Yeah.
I didn't see the rest of our family, like the boys, Lucy or I, but I just knew there was a sense of belonging for all of us within that context.
Yeah.
So that was my dream.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So then I happened to share it randomly around the table with my husband a couple of days later, not thinking, perhaps possibly dismissing it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, Jay, that's phenomenal. He said, well, I've just had a similar dream. And I said,
what?
I know.
That's cool. I've got goosebumps.
I know. And I said, tell me.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I saw the exact same landscape, exact same setting with the dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
But our daughter, he said, I saw our daughter too, but she's three.
Aww.
3 years old. Wow. And she's playing with just one dark-skinned little child, a little girl, another little girl.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting on that and they're playing.
Wow.
It's like amazing.
Yeah. You couldn't ignore it then.
No, you
couldn't dismiss
not
it
at all. It was phenomenal.
And that gave you a timeline as well.
Totally. Really interesting point. So anyway, obviously that sparked our discussions for missions again. And we knew God was doing something. I knew I was having a little girl before I was, received that, yes, it's Yay. A little girl.
Yeah.
So that was really cool that God confirmed to both of us. Yeah. That. And man, he gets our heart's desires. He's so faithful.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we started to really seek God on the mission front, pray about that, talk about it more again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we began to fast and pray more specifically after I had Lavinia and quit. My husband was certainly fasting. And God really revealed to us. We said, God, where are we going? Like, what is it and where do you want us? Not knowing exactly where that landscape was. So we decided for that week not to chat to each other about it, but to just seek God and see what God said to both of us.
Yeah.
And through a series of events, long story short, God told us both Vanuatu.
Wow.
And Mel, we barely both knew anything about Vanuatu. I knew it was hot and I knew it was tropical and in the Pacific.
Yeah.
And so we just couldn't get it out of our spirit, out of our heart.
Mm.
And so we began to research more about Vanuatu, and it's like as if all of a sudden nothing else existed.
Yeah.
So when Lavinia was 18 months old, we went to, I guess, spy out the land.
Yeah.
And we spent 3 weeks there just doing our own travels throughout. There's 83 islands, so we're like, Lord.
Oh, wow. Which one?
Yeah, where do we begin, Lord? Yeah. And God kept speaking to us about the north.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone is familiar with Vanuatu, Port Vila's in the south,
okay.
where the capital and everything happens, whereas we're an hour aeroplane flight north.
Okay.
So we went, and God continued to speak and give us scripture while we're there, and just confirmation after confirmation. But we realized he was leading us with a long-term vision, not a short-term. So the last evening, we were just sat down as husband and wife, and we sort of talked about it and just prayed, and we just said, God, yes, whatever you're doing in us, yes. Yes, Lord, we'll step out in faith and we'll come back here and serve if this is what you want. And an amazing vision. Do you want to hear about that?
I would love to hear about it. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So as we said yes and amen and said yes in agreement, I actually saw, God often speaks to me through visions. For others as well. And so we're sitting both on a seat, individual seat, and I see a spotlight as if we're on a center stage, like two actors, so to speak. And the spotlight is coming down onto us as a couple, but then one stream's coming into Lucien, and I could see one coming into me. And but the amazing thing is I could actually feel the heat from the spotlight as well coming into me, ray of sunlight, you call the spotlight.
Yeah.
And I squeezed Lucien's hand, so this is actually what I said, and I said to him, can you see that? And he said, yes, I can feel it too.
Whoa.
So everything I could see and feel, it was mirror image for him.
Wow.
And so we really believe in that moment that God was certainly anointing us for a wild journey.
Yes.
It's been wild. It's
Has
a faith
it really?
Journey. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we flew back to Australia the next day. So we went back with a purpose and a real heart's desire to return, and knowing that God was in it. But to tell you the truth, it was a journey for me as a mum. Like, Lord, seriously, you want me to take my children back to a developing nation, Lord, and limited access.
I was going to ask you, was there any part of you that struggled with this decision too?
Totally, totally. It was hectic. Like, even though I'd said yes and I was so willing to be obedient, God had to take me on a journey. And Lucy knew I was on that journey. And Holy Spirit was amazingly patient. And my friend always says, Jay, Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. And he was, but so was Lucien in that way. And so God just kept confirming and gently showing things. And it was 12 months after getting back from Vanuatu, actually to the day we left pretty much, that God really gave me a clear scripture one night. I was so tired, but he just really prompted me to sit and be in his word, and I knew he was going to speak to me. And he just gave me the scripture, and it's in 2 Corinthians 8, and it's verses 10 to 15, and it just starts, I'll just tell you a little bit. Maybe the listeners want to look it up themselves, but it starts with, for it is to your advantage to be doing what God put on your hearts over a year ago. For out of your abundance, you'll supply their lack, and out of their abundance, they'll supply your lack. And so there's more to that, but it just went on to talk about how when we are generous, that God always supplies and gives back to us. And I realized in those moments over those next few months, wow, Lord, it is to our advantage to be going and to want to do your work. And that, Lord God, you get that I've got three kids in this picture. You get that it is third world, so to speak. You get it, Lord. But I know that in that you'll protect and just back me, Lord.
It's right that you've got this.
Oh, and yeah. God just confirmed that through another friend who randomly sent me the same text a couple of days later.
That's cool.
And it
mm-hmm.
was something that I had only kept here.
Mm-hmm.
And he just took me on that journey. So by the time we left 20 months later, mm-hmm. from that day we first went to visit,
yeah.
God had really worked in my heart. And my yes was a solid yes, even though it was back then. And little did I know, but the night that God gave me that scripture, I was unaware that Lucien had been praying for me for 12 months, every day, that Lord, would you speak to her personally so that she feels totally at peace with taking our family there. He didn't push his agenda or...
Yeah.
I was in it, but I had to get to a different place to where he was as a husband and a dad.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit of our...
Wow.
Long story short.
I love that your husband didn't see it as his mission or his job to try to convince you and help you prepare your heart, but that he just left you to the Holy Spirit to do his work with you.
It's beautiful, hey?
Yeah, it is beautiful. I've got a question for you. We'll talk about your son.
Yes.
And the miracle.
Yes,
and how we met. Yeah, I know, the cool way that we met. But I wanted to ask you, do you feel like you're closer to the Lord since you have embarked on this journey in Vanuatu?
It has definitely increased my faith in different ways. I've had different situations in life that I've definitely faced that have grown my faith.
Mm-hmm.
But this just takes me to such a... Yeah, a new level of reliance on God.
Mm-hmm.
But also I've just learned how much of a provider he is. As a missionary, we don't earn any money at all. So we went self-funded. We sold up our house and cars and businesses to fund it. And we went, Lord, it'll last so long. And then, Lord, could you meet us if this is a long-term vision? And so God's now brought churches alongside us and individuals, and there's room for growth for that. But he's a good God. Never have my family missed a meal around the table.
Mm-hmm.
He just shows up. My prayer was that I would always have abundance to bless my community.
Yeah.
You know what, Mel? I do.
That's great.
Like, I've always got something to give.
Yeah.
Like, and that... Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And in a moment, we're going to talk about your journey of faith when you were pregnant with your eldest son.
Yes.
But I want to ask you, do you feel like that journey of faith that you went through with your eldest son, do you feel like in a way that prepared you for the ways that you've had to trust God and believe God now on the mission field?
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. And especially for Lucien as well. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, God has certainly prepared our hearts and just learned that nothing else really matters. It's actually about relationships. It's about what God's called us to do. And me included, it's so easy to get tied up with just the normal life,
yeah,
so to speak.
True.
And
That's true.
I've just loved that the Lord has stretched us and gotten us to a point. But our story with Isaac, as you know, has just given me such compassion.
So let's talk about how we met in the year 2013.
Oh, wow. Take me back.
Yeah. Well, you tell me.
Oh, okay. So it was, we were at a colour conference. I remember living in Sydney at the time. And I was there with a really close friend. She's a God girl. And anyway, we went to find a seat. It was an evening, I think. And cut a long story short, there was no double seats together. So we just agreed that we'd part ways for this particular session at Colour. And so I just sat and took the next seat available, next single seat. And it happened to be next to you, Mel.
Sweet. And there were like tens of thousands of women at this conference, weren't there?
Totally.
Yeah, so that's a lot of seats in the auditorium, and out of all of them, you sat next to me.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. And I do really believe that God was behind that.
Absolutely.
And very instrumental.
Yeah.
It's certainly not a coincidence, but rather a God incident.
That's right. So I was pregnant. I think I might have been in my first trimester because I was so sick. I was just like constantly eating pretzels and Jats. And anyway, when I was like a couple of months later, when I was about 20 weeks pregnant,
right,
I received this diagnosis, and
that's
many
right.
of our listeners would know. I told the story about Isabella. So if you want to go back to the episode called Courage in the, what is it? Courage in the Stretch, something and Stroll. Stretch, Stand and Stroll. Anyway, Courage something. Find that episode and I tell the story there. But yeah, so we received this terrible diagnosis of our baby, that our baby had a very serious heart defect and that it was quite possible that our baby might not make it.
Wow.
And Dan and I put a post on Facebook just asking people to pray.
That's right.
And then Jay contacted me via Messenger and shared with me her story about what happened with her son Isaac. And it's because, and that is one of the reasons why, or what helped us take on a position of faith and believe God to do a miracle.
Wow.
And that is the power of sharing our stories and sharing about what God has done for us. Because then other people can say, well, if he can do that for you, he can do that for me
Amen.
Too.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got goosebumps as well.
And you know what's really cool is that years later, I happened to meet a woman who knew my sister. So we were like on a boat at a party.
Wow.
And mutual friends, and she's like, oh, you're Jess's sister, and you're like, she's like, I was praying for your baby.
Oh,
and I heard
wow.
about the miracle that God did. And
wow.
she said, we were, and she had like a big pregnant belly, and she said, we have been trying for years to fall pregnant, and when I heard about the miracle that God did for you,
oh Mel,
I thought, if God can do that for you, he can do that for me too. And she's like, and I am now pregnant with our miracle
wow.
baby. And so that's really cool.
Wow. I love how God just connects us and just able to share our stories. And it almost becomes that iron sharpens iron analogy.
So true.
Yeah, they talk about in the Bible.
So take us back to 2009 when you were pregnant with Isaac.
Wow. Okay. My goodness, it's quite a while ago now,
yeah.
isn't it? So Isaac is almost 14. He'll be 14 at the end of August. And I give thanks to God. Despite the trials that we went through, I give thanks to God because I am who I am today, and my faith is richer because of the trial that we went through.
Mm.
I certainly wouldn't wish it upon anybody, but God was in it. And so, yeah, let me take you all back. So it was 2009, and it was our 20-week scan. And so it was our first pregnancy, and I was excited. I was fit and healthy. And so I went into that scan just expecting that everything was fine. The 12-week fine, 12-week scan had been all fine. Anyway, they spent a little bit longer on the scan, and when they got to the head region, they started to hover more and more. And I didn't pick that up, but my husband certainly picked up a reservation in the scanner. And then towards the end, he said, oh, there is a measurement that seems a little bit enlarged and has me questioning, but don't worry, this often happens. So just relax and pop back in 2 weeks and downplayed it. So we did. We just took that information away and we just prayed about it, husband and wife. We actually didn't share with anyone, not even our family, because we thought, well, why cause an alarm? Let's just trust the Lord with that. So we returned in the 2 weeks. In that time, Lucy and I also fasted and prayed. And I prayed too.
Not really fast when you're like pregnant.
Yes, totally. Just to clarify that.
Yeah.
And little did we know, but the head specialist was there waiting for us. And it was in that appointment that he actually informed us that the news was not great at all.
Before they had done the second ultrasound?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Didn't really prepare you for that.
No, definitely. So he had the scans there. And he used some choice language, put it that way, and just said, the news is not great. Mm-hmm. You can choose the words.
Wow.
Anyway, he went on to explain that Isaac's front of brain actually hadn't developed. So the left and right hemispheres weren't developed, nor the front. And he then began to explain that there would highly likely, or definitely were more his words, be severe complications, including that Isaac would never walk, he'd never talk, that he'd be blind, and most likely also not survive birth. And if he did, probably just hours old or a little time. So understandably, we were beside ourselves. We were really, really upset. And the specialist just stepped out and he just gave us space in his office. And we just grieved. We grieved. We clung together as husband and wife. And we just sat there and we prayed. And we just really in that moment just knew God was going to carry us. And then he returned. The specialist returned into the room. And he ever so kindly suggested that termination was a good idea. And to which we, for us, that is certainly not something we could personally bring ourselves to do. So we just gently discussed that we really felt that for us, life is only given or taken by the Lord. And so we decided in that moment to carry, for me to carry Isaac and just to trust God with the journey. And I just remember returning home to the house that afternoon and sitting on the couch and Lucien's holding me and it just him having to ring both our families. I couldn't even talk and he's just in tears and sobbing his heart out, getting the words out. But from that, we learnt we had such a beautiful community. We had a community of people who just stood behind us and prayed and interceded for us and loved us. So at the time we were living in Perth. We'd moved for a job opportunity for Lucien. He was in project management. It was the place to be at the time. And Lucien later that afternoon took me down to the beach and he just said, I want to take you home. I want to take you home to Brisbane. He said, we're going to need family support and we need to walk this out with family. So he sacrificed his wonderful job and within weeks, God provided him a new job in Brisbane. The GFC there just recently hit, so his existing company wasn't able to transfer him. Lots of logistics, but God provided him a great job.
Praise God.
His current company even paid for our container of furniture. They just, everyone, people, Christian and non-Christian, just backed us and got on board, and God just made a way where it seemed impossible. So just fast forwarding to 3 weeks before the pregnancy, the beautiful thing is, Mel, this situation got me on my knees. It got me on my knees just needing God so much, like I had never before. I grew up in a Christian family, always loved God fiercely, but it became such a personal walk with God through this situation, and only the Holy Spirit could comfort. Only, no one else, nothing anyone said. And so it was at this time that when we found out Isaac's diagnosis, that I penned all beautiful Bible verses that comforted me, and I put them up on my bathroom window, and I would just recite Psalms 139, verse 13 to 14 over Isaac every day. I'd rub my womb several times a day, just declare God's promises over him. So that verse is, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous, and that my soul knows very well." And that was just one of the many. I found every promise to do with God carrying me, healing, what God is capable of doing. Nothing is impossible. All of those types of scriptures. And I would just say them daily. And I had to be disciplined with getting God's word in and speaking it out, because it's what carried me. It is honestly what carried me. My faith definitely grew. Our marriage grew. We hadn't been married long, less than a year when we found out. But God just, he cared. He cared. And so we decided to cleave together and walk it out together. And I believe it was one of those instrumental points of our marriage that it could make or break a marriage, but we allowed it to make us, and God was in it with us.
That's good.
So meanwhile, I did prepare for challenges. It's bizarre. I was faithful, but I was also realistic. But then 3 weeks before Isaac's birth, I actually had a dream. And God only speaks to me specifically through dreams very occasionally. And I'm sure I probably dream regularly, but I don't remember them now, even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So when I remember a dream, I typically think, "Whoa, God, what are you trying to say to me?" So in my dream, I actually, just to give you a bit of background information, doctors and specialists were really encouraging me to have a cesarean because of all the challenges. But I just, in my heart, wanted a natural birth. I don't know why, but anyway. So in my dream, I woke up and I saw Isaac's head crowning.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in that full dilation mode. And I saw God's huge hand on Isaac's head. And I knew in that moment God was healing Isaac at the time of crowning.
Wow.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. But then, Mel, as I process over the next few hours, I actually felt angry with God. I felt angry and I went, "God, don't give me that dream if that's not true." And normally I tell Lucy and everything. I would say I'm an open communicator. It actually took me 2 days to tell him, because I doubted God, and I did. I had to work through a bit of anger and a bit of disappointment, because I was thinking, "Oh, surely that wouldn't be the case." And my faith really took a plummet in that moment.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I shared with Lucy, and there was no mirroring dream this time.
Yeah.
But Lucy just, he teared up and he just said, "Jay, you never remember your dreams. God has given you this for us." He goes, "We're going to claim this. We're going to really speak this over, what you were seeing over Isaac, and believe God for exactly what you saw to be."
Yeah.
And I thank God, because it was at that moment that he lifted my sword to fight again.
Yeah.
Because it was down. Mm-hmm. I was weary. Mm-hmm. And Lucian really encouraged me, and we really took that on board. So how cool is that?
Yeah, so cool.
So moving forward to 3 weeks after that, he was 6 days over,
mm-hmm.
and my waters broke first, and yes, you can imagine the mess. Oh, like all women.
Mm-hmm.
And so my waters broke about 20 past eight, and so we went straight to the hospital.
How were you feeling entering the hospital?
I just think about it all, and it's like all of that was just surreal.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just excited I was going to have my baby.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually thinking about the complications or anything. There was an excitement and a joy in me.
That's good.
Is that cool?
That is really cool.
I just think it's beautiful. And so Isaac from then was born 8 hours later.
That's fast. That's great.
I know. First birthday.
Yeah.
And I could just really sense God's closeness and presence the whole time. Yeah. So I did have a really good birth. And towards him crowning, mm-hmm. there was a lot more staff that suddenly appeared. Yeah. And I know that now that I reflect, they would have been preparing for the worst case scenario, right? Which is fine.
Yeah.
And anyway, they were all standby alert, but minded their own business, left me be.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaac was born, and I was just like, wow. I was just completely in love straight away. I was like, wow, Lord. And he was alert now. He was strong.
Was he crying?
He pretty much straight away. Yeah. He did the little cry.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, it's foreign, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then they put him on my chest and he began to breastfeed immediately.
He's so like, overachiever.
Totally. And still is. And so they had resuscitation teams there.
Yeah.
Everything, expecting that he would need resuscitating and special care nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And I know now from conversations after that they were perplexed, completely baffled with what was going on.
Yeah.
And so he didn't even need special care. We were able to hold him skin to skin for hours.
Wow. Do you know how they do that score out of 9? Is it called APGAR or something? Score? Do you know what that was?
I can't even remember
now. Just,
I should. Yeah. I have to look back in his book, won't I?
Yeah.
And anyway, a couple of hours later, Lucy's mum came to visit the hospital. And she's had 7 children. So she knows babies, right?
Yeah.
She just looked at me and wept. And she said, Jay, he's strong. He's a miracle boy.
Wow.
And he was 3.3 kilos approximately. Our biggest baby, actually.
Yeah, wow.
So just healthy and alert.
Did they scan his brain after he was born?
Yes.
So what happened there?
So, okay, that was a big part of the journey. Mm-hmm. So we had this miracle boy, and then three days later, they had to do an MRI on his head. That's right.
To confirm diagnosis?
Yes, to confirm diagnosis. So obviously at this point, we're like, he's healed, he's great, he's fine. God's done that miracle that I saw. 3 days later, Isaac was scheduled for an MRI to just check the diagnosis and everything. And so we went in there once again, hopeful and expectant to see the brain now formed, et cetera, because he was showing such beautiful signs. And Mel, everything we saw in pregnancy, in those original scans, in the ongoing scans we had in pregnancy, it was still the same. And I'm telling you now, we were like 2 deflated balloons.
Mm.
And we began to cry again. And we're like, Lord, what? What? But you showed Jay, you showed me, was our response. And Mel, that was really challenging, incredibly challenging. We also, in that meeting, they said Isaac will develop severe epilepsy. He'll be blind by the age of 2. And many, many other grave sort of diagnosis or thought processes for what would happen in his life. But Mel, what man says and God does is 2 different stories.
Mm.
So we just had to keep running to God and go, God, we trust you. And the months flowed on. Isaac met every milestone ahead of time. Was very able, remained alert, eye contact great, started to crawl, started to goo and gar, just kept showing miraculous signs. And every time we went back to the specialist, so we had to have regular checkups, obviously, they were like, whoa, this is just wow, they would say. And my response would be, that's my God.
Yeah.
So every time. So Isaac actually had to have checkups for the first 2 years of his life. So I was taking him to the Mater, and then we moved to Sydney and I'd have to take him to the Westmead Hospital for checkups. But every time the specialists and neurologists were just like, whoa. And they would look at him and place him in different environments and settings. Each time, yeah, it was definitely a testament of God's faithfulness. And we got to 2 years old and they said, you don't need to keep coming.
That's great.
I know.
Did they scan him again and see any kind of growth or development there physically?
So they actually never wanted to.
Right.
I'm not sure why, but that's where we have to trust God, Mel.
Mm.
And I don't get it.
Yeah.
But he's a miracle. And yeah. In the midst of this, I had to go to the hospital and see other children with similar diagnoses. I was like, whoa, it's in really? Those moments that I was like, and obviously I'd hold a lot of that in those appointments, but yeah, that's when I was even baffled more. But we really did learn to just trust God, and what man says and God can do is two different stories. And even what the picture or the diagnosis, whether you're healthy or you're walking a tough journey with a specific illness, if you're listening tonight, that God can do miracles, and he's a miracle working God. And to this day, Mel, Isaac is handsome. He's extremely sporty, loves the Broncos, used to win all these races when we lived in Brisbane. He's an AB student. He's social. Honestly, he's an absolute miracle. And over these years and conversations with different neurologists, we have since been told that the brain can rewire itself and form different neurological patterns. And I'm so not into science. So let's just stop that part there. But I really do believe he's a miracle boy. And we tell him that. We tell him that God has healed him. And my greatest prayer is that his story will be used for God's glory.
Yeah.
But Isaac will run with that one day too.
That it will one day be his testimony.
Amen.
So right now it's your testimony, but it's good. Yeah, I hear Isabella. Actually, just recently I was having a chat with my two eldest daughters, Isabella, who's 9, and Eva, who's 6. And they were like, tell us again, Mom, the story about how you found out about Isabella. Went through the whole story, went to the miracle, and just they both oohed and aahed again, and wow. Bella was just like, wow. And it's just so cool to really see her take that on board.
How
as well.
Beautiful.
God did a miracle in me.
I must actually share that testimony also about Bella with Isaac as well.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And I don't even know if I've told Isaac about our meeting.
Yeah.
So I must do that. Yeah, I must do that. There is something else I'd love to share.
Please do, yeah.
So the only recent checkup, so to speak, came unplanned. Lucien had to go and see a optometrist, but a very advanced optometrist for himself. And cut a long story short, she's a Christian lady, and she's actually in North Brisbane in Narangba, amazing lady.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy was sharing the testimony of Isaac with her, and how the neurologists and specialists were saying Isaac would go blind by the time he's 2.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, can I have a look? Can I have a look at his eyes? And it happened to be Lucien only took Isaac within
handy.
That day.
Yeah.
So she had a look. His eyes, Mel, are now absolutely perfect. She said to Lucien, that the optic nerves are now fully formed. Back when they were saying he'd go blind, they were so thin. That's why they were saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is a lady that's very high up in the optometrist world, optical world, I think I meant to say, aren't I? So that is something we weren't aware of, but there's a miracle in itself. So it's regarding incredible. The brain scan, I don't know.
Yeah.
But imagine.
Yeah.
Sort of tempted now.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be really cool to see what his brain looks like now. And either way, definitely. I think it would be a testament to God's goodness and power.
Amen.
Because if it is fully formed, it's like, wow, God did that. And if it isn't, it's like, wow, look what God has done despite that.
Definitely. So yeah, be encouraged, listeners, that God works in mysterious ways. And it doesn't always, what we have really learned, it doesn't always look how we, I guess, hope or imagine. but God is in it, and it's grown our faith, and it has also was the catalyst also for my heart for women's ministry, and it gave me such compassion. And God randomly allowed me to meet beautiful women like yourself, even at the park, in different settings, where these women would just naturally begin sharing with me about a challenging pregnancy. And I was able to say, are you open to be praying, even if they weren't Christian, and sharing? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, if I have these stories just to be able to encourage others, because encouraging is my gift, right? I'm like, well, so be it, Lord.
Yeah.
May I just use it for your glory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When you were walking the journey when he was still a baby,
yes,
in those first 2 years getting checkups, and also like seeing other children that had the same condition and their disabilities, and mm-hmm. and when I guess when you were like talking to people, did you feel like you had to guard and be careful with what you were saying about your child, you know, like how often you were talking about his diagnosis and what the prognosis was? Did you feel like you had to kind of really guard what you were saying to protect the miracle almost?
Most definitely, Mel. Most definitely. So I have really learned only to share it, especially in those younger years, with who I really felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to share it with. I was very protective.
Mm.
I'm probably more open now. But yes, there was certainly a protective stance I took for him, but also for those who don't necessarily get their physical miracle or are walking that tough journey, I try to be incredibly sensitive.
Mm.
And I've got some beautiful, dear Christian, godly women friends who walk a tough journey with children with disabilities,
mm.
and they do an amazing job. And I just want to clarify or affirm that every child is a miracle.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the outcome,
mm-hmm.
every child's a miracle, and God has purposed every child. And it comes back to that beautiful scripture that I shared from Psalms, that every child is fearfully and wonderfully made, and God can use every situation, no matter what the outcome, for his glory.
What would you say right now to some of our listeners who are currently walking a similar journey? They've perhaps received a terrible diagnosis for a child or for a loved one or even for themselves. What would you say to encourage them?
Oh, where do I start, Mel? So definitely in your rawest moments, run to Jesus. And sometimes you may not have the words to express to Jesus, but he's there with you through the tears, through just every emotion. He's with you and he loves you. He sees you and cares. Keep your eyes on him. Just saturate your soul with worship music. If you just, you need to lift your spirit by worship. Give thanks despite the circumstance. Jesus is the perfect ointment for your broken heart, for your broken situation. He is your hope. Something I really learned and really take hold of is power in our words. It talks a lot about that in the Bible, and when you're going through tough situations, I do believe that is a real tool. Also, is be mindful of the way you're speaking. Speak with hope, even if you feel so hopeless. And if you can't do that, get other iron sharpened iron women alongside you who can lift up your sword to fight again, to battle it out. And you know what? I never forget Lucy and saying, Jay, in the early stages of finding out, we don't ask God why. Do not ask God why, because I did. So keep a soft heart. Allow God to be central no matter what, no matter what the outcome is. And remember this earth is so momentary. It's so momentary. You have eternity where God promises in Revelation that there is no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things are passed away. So I'd love to pray, Mel. Please
pray
do.
For the listeners.
Absolutely do.
Yeah. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God, for your faithfulness, Lord God. Lord God, that in every single challenge, Lord God, you're in the fiery furnace with us, Lord God. You never leave us, Lord God. You pick us up and you carry us when we're too exhausted to run ourselves, Lord. So, Lord God, I just pray and just believe, Lord God, for every listener here tonight, Lord. You know personally what every single listener is walking through, Lord God. You know their burdens, Lord God. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you bring peace that only you, Holy Spirit, can bring into their hearts, Lord God, into their minds, into their situation, Lord God. And pray, Father God, that you'll send people alongside them, Lord, to help them fight their battles, Lord God. That you'll, your just gentleness, Holy Spirit, will be their ointment, Lord God, to heal their heart and walk through whatever it is they're walking through, Lord. And God, I give thanks for those who can rejoice and testify of your faithfulness, Lord God. And I just pray that you give them a boldness, Lord God, to share their testimonies, Father God, and to be real and to be raw, Father God, because it's in those moments we can actually encourage another, like how you allow me to encourage Mel. I thank you, God, that you're a good God, that you love us and care, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you know somebody who would really benefit from listening to this episode, then click on the share button and send them a link. Also, I'd so love it if you could take the time to quickly subscribe and write me a review. If you want to get in touch for any reason, DM me on Instagram @Mel_Lynham. Talk to you soon.